Morning. If you have your Bible, maybe you'd like to turn with me to the epistle to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, first of all, and then Colossians 4:12. Let's start with verse 9 of chapter 2, Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And then Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who was one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So here we have two verses that set before us completeness. And I'm thinking of the complete Christian. That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? The complete Christian. There are many unsaved who think that the Christian is missing something. They're missing the pleasures of sin. They're missing the joys of the world. A Christian misses nothing. We are complete in him. First of all, let's consider the completeness of cleansing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not just some sins or most of our sins, but from all sins. What a wonderful completeness that is, to be cleansed from all sins. I was saved in a large church in Buffalo, New York. The preacher was a great gospel preacher. However, he didn't believe in the eternal security of the believer. And he believed and preached that once that you receive the Lord as your Savior, if you go back to sin, you're lost. And because of that, I went forward about 12 times because I knew I'd been failing. None of us are perfect after we receive the Lord as our Savior because the old nature is still there. And often we give in and we submit to the old nature and we sin. But praise the Lord, we don't lose our salvation. The Word of God says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, present tense, everlasting life. So as soon as a person receives the Lord as their Savior, they have right then and there everlasting life. And everlasting means just that, everlasting. It doesn't stop. It doesn't cease, even though we may fail along the way. And we do often, don't we? He gives us everlasting life. And with it, there's that complete cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now that should give the believer comfort to realize that. And confidence and assurance that I have everlasting life and I can never lose it. and no one can ever take it away from me. And I cannot give it up myself either. That is what God gives to every believer, everlasting life. So there's complete cleansing, and there's complete assurance, and there's complete everlasting life. And like the Lord said to his disciples, you are clean every whit, every whit. And it's wonderful to realize that and to rejoice in it and be at peace with that. You're clean every whit, not by yourself, not by good works, but by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's complete cleansing. And then God gives us a complete wardrobe. We read in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10 of the robe of righteousness and the garments of salvation. What a wonderful wardrobe for the Christian. The robe of righteousness. What does that mean, righteousness? It means that God gives us a standing before him as if we had never sinned. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? Because by nature we do sin. But that robe of righteousness does not depend upon ourselves, but it depends upon the perfect person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the robe of righteousness, the standing before God in Christ as if we had never sinned. What a wonderful wardrobe. Complete clothing. And then there's a complete menu to feed upon. And we read about it in Exodus chapter 12. Maybe you might like to turn back to that book with me. Exodus chapter 12. And let us notice in verse 9 concerning the Passover feast that they ate not of it raw or sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head, his legs, and with appurtenance thereof. Here we have a complete feast, and it concerns three things: the head and the legs and the appurtenance. You know, the Lord said, search the scriptures that because they are they that testify of me. That Passover lamb is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus. And they were to feast upon the Passover lamb, the head, the legs, and the appurtenance. And here we have a symbolic lesson concerning the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we are to have a complete meal feasting on him. Feasting on his head, that would speak of his thoughts. The psalmist said, if he were to think about his thoughts, God's thoughts, they are more than the sand. My, what an illustration. His thoughts are more than the sand. I'm sure everyone here goes down to the shore, the Jersey Shore, during the summer. Next time you do, take a pail and fill it with sand. And then count every grain of sand in that pail. And when you've done that, take another fresh pail full and count those grains of sand. And keep it up until you've counted every grain of sand along the Jersey Shore. And keep on going down the East Shore, and then around Central America and South America, And then up the west coast of South America and the United States. And keep on going until you've gone all around the world. How long do you think it would take you? Eternity. And that's what the writer is thinking about, the psalmist, concerning God's thoughts. They're more than the sand. Isn't that terrific? And those thoughts are for you. The psalmist said, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Make it personal. God has eternal thoughts for me. Not just for the world, but for me. What a blessing that is. God thinks upon me. Even though I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. So he has complete, wonderful thoughts about me. And he has a wonderful menu for me. Thinking upon that Passover lamb and feasting upon his head, his thoughts, eternal thoughts. And thinking about his legs, which would speak of his walk. What a wonderful feast to think about the life of the Lord Jesus. We read as John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus, he cried out, Behold, the Lamb of God. And later on, as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. Think of that wonderful life that he lived. Behold it. And that word, behold, is a strong word. It means to look upon intently. Consider what you're looking at. And as you read about the life of the Lord Jesus, that wonderful life that he lived, really give it serious thought. Father spoke from heaven one day and said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What a wonderful walk. The Father was well pleased with him. And then the Word of God tells us that we should walk as he has walked. And we can only do that in the power, the energy, the enabling of the Holy Spirit, so that the Father will be able to say about us, I'm well pleased. Wouldn't that be wonderful to hear from the Father in that day? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. My, what a reward. Well done. Are you making an effort in that direction? To have a life that's pleasing to him? So the believer gets a complete cleansing by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Complete outfit, wardrobe, the robe of righteousness and the garments of salvation, and a complete menu, feeding upon Christ, our Passover lamb, feasting on his thoughts, the head, feasting on his walk, the light of the Lord Jesus, and then feasting on the pertinence, and that would speak of his heart, on that wonderful love, the eternal love that he has for us. And each Lord's Day morning, as we come together to remember the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup, we have Christ brought before us, the complete Christ. And then we have set before us the complete pathway for the believer, for the Christian. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 19, "Follow me. Follow me." Not follow one another, but follow Christ. So often our eyes are on others instead of on Christ. And when that happens, if that person fails, we're hurt. We're hindered. We're set back. And we stumble. But the Word of God doesn't tell us to follow others. But Christ said, follow me. Follow me. And when we do, we become fruitful for him. Because the Lord said, I'll make you fishers of men. In other words, the Lord says, I'm going to make you into a soul winner. By the way, Christian, have you ever led another person to Christ? Have you? I hope so. Because there's no other blessing apart from being saved yourself, like leading someone else to the Lord. What a blessing. And if you haven't had that blessing so far, pray about it. And make every effort by his enabling to win someone else to Christ. Because it's like the blessing of being saved yourself. That's why the Lord Jesus came into this world to seek and to save the lost. That's why the Lord Jesus went to the cross, so that there might be souls saved, so that there might be a great multitude of children for God, brought into his family by faith in Christ. And God gives us the joy, the blessing of having a part in that, in being a soul winner. The Word of God says, he that winneth souls is wise. Have you ever led someone else to the Lord? If you haven't, make that a real matter of prayer. Now there's a blessing in giving out tracts. That's sowing the seed, but that's not enough. To be a soul winner, you must go a little further. Explain that track. Try to get that person to understand God's love for them, and also to come to a place of decision. I remember one night when I was taking some graduate work at Fairleigh Dickinson University, one of the students from the evening class that we were in, he stopped me one night out there on the campus, and he said, I noticed that often you mention the Lord in class. And he said, you know, I used to be a Catholic, and I was disappointed. He said, then I became a Jehovah Witness, and I was disappointed there. And he said, I don't know where to turn. Can you help me? So I dealt with him, and I had the joy of leading him to the Lord. What a joy that is, to lead someone else to Christ. Not just to witness, but bring them to that point where they make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord wants us to be. He said, follow me and I will make you. That's a promise from the Lord himself. And you may say, well, no, it's kind of hard for me. I find it hard to express myself. Before I was saved, I found it hard to express myself too. In school, in public school, whenever I was called on to give an answer, my knees got wobbly and my throat got dry. It was hard for me to get up and say anything. But after I got saved, what a difference. The Lord helped me. After all, when you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. And there's our source of power, the Holy Spirit. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the courage. And he'll give you just the word in season. You don't have to be a conference speaker to be a witness. Just a few words. The right word from the Holy Spirit will touch a heart. I think of the night when I was saved at that big tabernacle in Buffalo, New York. There must have been 1,000 people there in the meeting that night. And Dr. Churchill was a great preacher, especially in the gospel. And at the end of every message, Sunday evening message, he'd give an invitation. And a number of people responded every Sunday night. And there was a little old lady sitting next to me. And when the invitation was given, she leaned over and she said, "Young man, wouldn't you like to be saved?" That's all she said. "Young man, wouldn't you like to be saved?" You know, that's what the Lord used to cause me to make a decision for Christ. To this day, I don't remember one thing Dr. Churchill said that night when I was saved, but I've never forgotten what that little old lady said to me. "Young man, wouldn't you like to be saved?" That's what God used. It wasn't a long message, just a simple question about four words. "Young man, wouldn't you like to be saved?" And you know, the Lord is able to give you just that word in season to lead someone else to Christ, or to get them to accept Christ as their Savior. Little is much when God is in it. So the Lord is able to make you a complete Christian, not only in being cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, being clothed with a robe of righteousness and the garments of salvation, having a complete menu to feed upon day after day, as pictured in the Passover of the head and the legs and the pertinence, speaking of the thoughts of God toward us and the wonderful life of the Lord Jesus and his eternal love for us. And also the Lord's Supper brings before us these thoughts of the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for us. And the Lord gives us a complete pathway to follow him. Follow me. And when we do, he makes us fruitful and useful for him. "I'll make you fishers of men." And remember, a fisher or a person, when they go out fishing, they don't go out just to feed the fish, but they want to land the fish. So it's not enough to give out a tract or give a testimony, but seek to land a person for Christ, to really lead them to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord said, "I'll make you, I'll give you the wisdom, enabling, the courage, the strength to do that. I'll make you fishers of men." And then there's a complete sacrifice for you and I to offer to the Lord. As the Apostle Paul expressed it in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ." I am crucified with Christ. Are you willing to make that complete sacrifice to be crucified? That is, dead to self, dead to your wishes and your will, dead to the world, dead to sin, so that you might be a living sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. "I am crucified with Christ. But you might say, I don't want to be dead. But the Apostle Paul didn't stop there. He said, nevertheless, I live. And that's the only real life that's worth living. When you're dead to self, but alive to Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a wonderful life that is. And then there's the complete reward set before us. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of the Lord. What a complete reward. Nothing can compare with it. But to hear from the lips of the Lord Jesus, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of the Lord. May each one of us seek to be the complete Christian that way. Let us pray. And now, blessed God and our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that when we put our trust in thy beloved Son, we're more than forgiven and cleansed and clothed, but we're given the privilege to live for thee and to serve thee so that when we come before thee, finally, at the judgment seat of Christ, at the Bema, when our life will be evaluated, we'll hear from the blessed lips of thy beloved Son, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord, and that's forever. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.